I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, how to keep our nation's children safe at school. Last week, a student killed 10 people at a high school in Santa Fe, Texas. According to a tally being kept by CNN, that was the 22nd school shooting this year. So let's get right to it. This weekend, there were two calls for radical change. One came from the law enforcement community and the other from education. Art Acevedo is Houston's chief of police, and he posted on Facebook hours after the shooting, blaming the inaction of lawmakers to do something about gun violence. And Peter Cunningham is the executive director of Education Post and former assistant secretary for outreach and communications at the U.S. Department of Education. And he's calling for students nationwide to boycott. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Chief Acevedo, you're located about 40 minutes from Santa Fe, Texas. How is the community coping in the aftermath of the tragedy?
Well, you know, there's a lot of pain, as you can imagine, and shock and anguish. But at the end of the day, it's a small community, and it's a Texas community. It's a faithful community, and they know that they'll get through it. But people are hanging in there. I was at the hospital last night with Officer John Barnes, who retired from my department, and his beautiful wife, Ashley. And, you know, they're still struggling. He's got a long road ahead and still in need of prayers, as do we need to pray for the victims and their families as well.
And Chief, you wrote an impassioned Facebook post about the shooting, and I'll read just a part of it for our listeners who haven't had a chance to see it. In quote, you said, "The hatred being spewed in our country and the new norms we so-called people of faith are accepting is as much to blame for so much of the violence in our once pragmatic nation." Chief, tell us a little bit about why you wrote that and what the feeling was behind that.
Well, I mean, my heart aches, and because this is a nation that for 240 years we've been pragmatic. We've been the beacon of hope for the world. And the way that too many elected officials speak about people of color, about immigrants, about the other side of the aisle, it's just so contrary to what we have stood for as a nation, as a people, and as a people of faith, that is creating an environment that I believe when you add mental illness and everything else that we're dealing with in this country just adds fuel to the fire and can lead to people just doing things that we don't need to be having happen in our country. And so it's time for us to take a step back. We need to reset and go back to the norms that got us to become the greatest and most blessed nation on earth.
And Peter, you say that it's time for radical measures, including taking our kids out of school, right?
I do. I think that nothing has worked. We've seen shooting after shooting, 21st graders in a school in Connecticut, you know, 17 kids in Florida, now 10 in Texas. It just goes on and on. 58 at a concert in Las Vegas. It's not just schools, it's churches. It's everywhere we have public life. And all this talk about hardening schools is, I think, a little bit ridiculous. There's no prohibition against putting a security guard in a school, but the last two school shootings had security guards. Are we going to harden recess and dismissal time? And we're going to harden our churches and our stores and parks? I just think the wrong direction. And my thought is that, you know, parents are a huge, huge potential force for good. And if they pulled their kids out of school for a day or two, maybe even a week in September, that would send a message to Congress and would remind them 2 months before the election that parents are serious and they want action.
I want to read a statistic here that stood out to me over the weekend. I felt like we as Americans are sending our children to war when they go to school. And in fact, the Washington Post had an analysis that showed that 29 people were killed in school shootings versus 13 in the military in 2018. Either of your reactions to that statistic?
It just makes me very angry because every time these things happen, whether it's in a church, in a high school, in an elementary school, in a theater, all we see from people that their sole purpose in life should be, as elected officials, focusing on the safety and security of the American people, and most especially our children, and most especially people that are sitting at a church in prayer. And they do nothing other than come up to the cameras, act like they care. And you know what? Caring is not about words. Caring is about action. I'm tired of it. I think most of the people that I know, my friends that are conservative people, I've had a friend that's a lifelong NRA member, grandfather, his adult son's lifelong NRA members. They're done. And so I'm hopeful that there's an awakening coming. But the problem is, the longer it takes for all of us to wake up, the more people that are going to die needlessly. When I know in my heart of hearts, there are things we can do, like background checks, making sure that at gun shows you can't be a private seller and just sell to anybody as long as they have money. We need to do our due diligence when we sell our guns to make sure we're selling it to someone that's of sound mind and law-abiding. And if that's too much to ask for you as a gun owner, then I think your priorities are not where they need to be.
Now, I want to bring in another issue here. We've talked a lot about politics and access to guns, but there is also, this is a uniquely American and or United States phenomenon, the school shootings, the death toll that we see. We are the most advanced country, I think, that has this level of school shooting. So to me, that indicates a social and cultural issue. I want to get both of your reactions to this ad from the NRA that came out over the weekend.
So when are we going to be completely honest and acknowledge the awkward, bullied, sexually frustrated, psychotropic, drug-laced, suicidal mass shooters in the room for what they are? Or are we just going to keep acting like we don't know what's going on in the name of not confronting the miserable reality that they are a creation of our so-called progressive culture and media?
Either of your reactions to that?
It sounds like a caricature up there to me. So now sexual frustration is what is the cause, right? Well, you know, I agree. There are a lot of psychological issues and mental health issues in our country, which means we need to do better at identifying people, having authority to temporarily or permanently remove firearms from the possession of these people. There's so many things that can be done. But the answer is not the NRA's answer, which is guns, guns, more guns, guns for everybody. Teachers need to teach, you know. But at the end of the day, it's not about the elected officials anymore. We have an initiative process, a ballot initiative process in our country, and I hope, starting in our state, with us in our city here, with the leadership of Mayor Turner, that we're going to mobilize the American people, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to weigh in and make the difference.
Yeah, it strikes me as a ridiculous thing. It's just one more attempt to avoid talking about gun safety. They'd rather talk about any other issue. They want to talk about mental health. They want to talk about increasing security guards. They want to have fewer doors. I mean, there are reasons why we have multiple doors from schools. I think it's a fire hazard. So they'll do anything to avoid the topic of gun safety and the fact that we have easily accessible guns to people who shouldn't have them. That's not to say mental health isn't an issue and we shouldn't do more about it. But they're just avoiding the topic at hand, which is easy access to guns.
And aren't those two things almost, can't we believe in both of those things, that we need as a country to have certain regulations, gun regulations, background checks? Those things all do seem sensical, and yet also take a look at what's driving particularly young white men to commit these mass shootings. Can we look at both of those things simultaneously?
It's not a zero-sum proposition. It's got to be comprehensive, it has to be pragmatic, and it has to be an all-hands-on-deck approach. If we can land a man on the moon, if we can land spacecraft on Mars, if we can create artificial intelligence, we can move this forward and we can impact this. Not to mention the fact we have safety standards for everything, from you know, chairs to cars to planes to car seats. It's time for us to start telling the you know, gun manufacturers we need to have intelligent triggers with biometrics, so only the person that's lawfully owns or possesses that firearm can discharge it. There's a lot of things that can be done, but saying that you know, there's nothing that can be done certainly is not the answer.
Chief Acevedo, I'm curious, the weapons that were used in the shooting were a shotgun and a 38 revolver. Those are not the focus of a lot of these gun control reforms where we're looking at AR-15s, et cetera, et cetera. How could gun reforms have impacted this particular incident?
Well, I think that those typically aren't the weapons of choice for most mass shooters and active shooters. But if we had strengthened laws that require us as gun owners to keep our firearms in a safe location, you know, there are criminal penalties if a child or a minor. But how about if it's your adult son or a neighbor or a friend that decides they grab a gun out of your house? We need to pass laws that holds gun owners accountable for their firearms, requiring them to keep them safe, locked up, secured. And so when there's many things that can be done. There's no 100% guarantee, but I think the one guarantee I have is that if we don't do something, this is only going to continue. It's going to continue with more frequency, and at some point the American people will wake up and do something about it.
And I guess I'd like to close, Peter, by asking you, and you too, Chief Acevedo, if you mentioned this earlier, the psychological impact this is having on children. I would argue it's having a psychological impact on anybody, on Americans who send their kids to school, who love children. I mean, this has just gotten out of control. And I wonder if there is a mass psychological shift that we're seeing where children are almost prepared that this could happen to them in schools.
There's no question that when you read the comments from kids, when you read articles about how kids are processing this, it's very much on their mind. And, you know, let's remember what schools are for. It's for learning. These kids are trying to get their education. They're trying to broaden their minds. They're trying to, you know, learn, you know, to become social and to make friends and to live in that special moment of time when you're in school and you're creating, you know, you're creative and you're doing things. And instead, they're doing active shooter drills. Instead, they're living in constant fear that somebody, some classmate, somebody is going to create a terrible situation and come in and kill them. That's an awful thing to put on children.
Chief Acevedo?
You know, it's heartbreaking when, as a father myself with a 10-year-old son, I've got to talk to him about where to sit in the theater, explain to him why we choose the seats that we do, or in a restaurant, what to do when they hear anything that sounds like gunfire, to not be curious, to go away from the gunfire, not towards the gunfire. It's just the times that we live in. But at the end of the day, I believe that there is an awakening going on, starting with the young people. And I'm really hopeful that we're going to get something done here very quickly.
Art Acevedo is Houston's chief of police, and Peter Cunningham is executive director of Education Post and former assistant secretary for outreach and communications at the U.S. Department of Education. Chief Acevedo, Peter Cunningham, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, your turn. What do you think we should do to prevent school shootings in this country?
I'm Maggie from Long Valley, New Jersey. More kids have died in school shootings this year than active military members in combat in 2018. Perhaps if we spent an equal amount of funding on education and school counseling, we wouldn't have kids bringing weapons of war with them to school.
My name is John, and I'm from Tampa, Florida. Other than the standard rhetoric, like raise the age of buyers, ban assault rifles, bump stocks, and multi-round magazines, all of which will certainly help. Maybe the next thing is key card entrances, visitors being buzzed in, more resource officers on campus. Those are all good and reliable options.
My name is Michael, and I'm in Bloomington, Indiana. We need to stop looking for scapegoats, like laws and guns and games and entertainment. What it comes down to is that we don't take enough care of the people around us.
This is Devin calling from the Portland, Oregon area. I have considered homeschooling because of concerns about gun violence.
Add your voice to the conversation on the Takeaways Facebook page. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.